First John chapter 4 and verse 4, reading from the New Living Translation. Actually, my dad talked about this scripture today, and it just really was been ringing on my heart here recently as well. And so I want to talk about it a little bit. 1 John 4:4, and I'm sure most of you know what it says. I'm going to read from New Living Translation because I like the way it says it there. It says, "But you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over those people because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in the world." But I like the way it says it here. It says we've already won. And see, that's the thing. In fact, I have a CD, a single CD out there called The Greater Mentality, and we use the scripture. But we have to understand, we have to have the mentality that we're not going in to win a battle. We've already won the battle because there are greater ones on the inside of us. Because so many times we look around at the things that are going on in our life, and we have different financial attacks, spiritual attacks, mental attacks, whatever. Attacks come from the devil. Of course, the devil does come to steal, kill, and destroy. And so we look at those attacks, and sometimes we forget about that we've already won the battle. And we forget about the greater one does live on the inside of us. And, it's because he lives on the inside of us, not because we're special. You have to understand that just because you're a Christian doesn't make you special. All right? It's not about, that you're a Christian. It's about the greater one dwells on the inside of you. But here's the deal. Just because the greater one dwells on the inside of you, you have to do something about it. You have to unleash the beast. They say, not necessarily the beast, but, there's a commercial, unleash the beast. Unleash what's on the inside of you. Unleash the God-given ability, God-given talents, that's on the inside of you. That's why the one scripture, Philippians 4 says you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. You can do all things because the greater one dwells on the inside of you. And you have to have that greater mentality that whenever things are going terrible, whenever things seem like there is no way out, understand that you will overcome because the greater one is on the inside of you helping you overcome. It's not you're going to overcome because you're special. It's not going to, and some people, they just think, well, I'm a Christian. There'll be no problems whatsoever. Maybe that's what Adam and Eve thought. Obviously they had issues. All right. And the thing about it is that's why the devil is going to try to knock you upside the head. We all know that. And that's why Jesus told us that, a long time ago. The thief is going to try to steal, kill, and destroy. And the way he destroys us is he destroys our mind. He tries to get us to think that we haven't overcome. Get us to think, get us to not think on the greater one, but think, hey, look at what's going on. And we have many examples. I mean, one of the greatest examples is whenever Jesus told the disciples, let's go to the other side. And they get about halfway, to the other side, and Jesus is taking a nap, and all of a sudden the winds and waves and storms start coming along, and all of a sudden water's coming in the boat, and the disciples are like, what do we do now? And see, they weren't looking to the other side. They weren't looking to the words that Jesus said. They were looking at what they had in front of them. And what they had in front of them was a storm. And that's the thing about it is we're going to have storms in front of us. Just like, obviously we had a lot of storms this weekend. In Oklahoma, we know what a storm is. But those weren't a storm of life. But sometimes we have storms of life. Or we have, going back to the thing in Mark 11, we have mountains that form in front of us. We don't have molehills sometimes. We have mountains. We have situations we have to overcome. But we have to realize that we have already been victorious before those situations ever even came about. That Jesus Christ took care of those situations 2,000 years ago. And, sometimes the way we almost like pray, I'm not saying you do pray this way, but we ask the Lord to come and do something. But when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he already did something. He took care of it then. And it's up to you to start doing something. It's up to you to start realizing who you are on the inside instead of, getting afraid, instead of, cowering down, instead of going into what I call a pity party mentality. A lot of times, and I get it. I mean, a lot of times it seems that mentally how can I handle any more? I mean, we have so much stuff going on, and that's the problem. We're trying to handle everything. You know, and you know, I know there's been many times in my own personal life and where just, I mean, attack after attack after attack, and, you know, thinking, you know, well, God, I can't handle this. Well, the thing is, God doesn't want you to handle it. He wants you to hand it over. He wants you to understand, you know what, I'm the greater one. Number one, you've already won, and you know, we should, first of all, use the name of Jesus. I mean, you know, I'm, you know, thank God for the way I've been raised. And, you know, the first thing I would say, in the name of Jesus, devil, you have no right. You have no authority. Now, a lot of times, the bad part it is, before we get to the point where we actually decide to tell the devil he has no right, no authority, we have pity parties. Our mind's going crazy, like, what am I going to do? And so my goal is to get us, you know, to get to that point quicker where we resist the devil. And the Bible says, resist him, he'll flee from us. You know, because the devil actually understands he's already been defeated. You understand the devil understands that? He understands ultimately he has no authority over you. But that doesn't stop him. You know, and, you know, it doesn't stop him at all. And that's why Jesus warned us about that a long time ago. He's going to try to destroy your life. And the way he does is he tries to tell you in your mind, because that's why the Bible talks about renewing our mind. It's a process. We have to renew our mind. Just because we have it down here doesn't mean it's up here. And so what happens is when things happen, you know, we went to school, all right? I know everyone here went to school for, you know, at least so many years. I mean, some people say, well, I don't have an eighth grade education. Well, you went to school through eighth grade if you had an eighth grade education. Most of you probably have at least a high school education, if not more. And, you know, that's great. I believe in education. But the thing about it is during education, they were trying to educate your mind. You know, and, you know, your mind thinks one way. And you learned in life, especially, you know, in different places, like especially math, you know, and things, you know, or even science. Your mind tried to teach you how things work. But sometimes you just can't figure those things out. Because, you know, when it comes with God, it's like, you know, the things that are impossible to man are possible with God. So your mind's not going to figure it out. You can sit there all day long having a pity party, trying to figure it all out. You're not going to figure anything out. In fact, I found out a lot of times when people get into a situation, especially a financial situation where they have a huge financial crunch and there's all kinds of things and happening and whatever, a lot of people, when I found out, you know, the first thing they do is they don't try to believe God to get out of it. The first thing they actually do is try to figure out why they're in it. Well, you know, it's good to figure out why you're in it because you shouldn't do it again. But I personally think that you need to get out of it and then figure out what not to do next time. Because a lot of times our mind, you know, our mind is not thinking about, hey, let's get out of it. Our mind is thinking about, what did I do wrong? I even know some people that you know, have some sickness or whatever. I mean, you know, well, maybe they smoked a lot whenever they were younger and they later on got lung cancer. Well, was it because of my smoking? I don't know why it happened. You know, the thing about it is you can still get your healing. No matter if your cancer happened because you did stupid stuff whenever you were younger. You know, they've been warning us over and over again about not being in the sun, you know, and stuff like that. But that doesn't stop some people. Some people, you know, they like to look like a baked raisin all summer long or whatever. But, you know, it doesn't matter what we've done. What matters is that God loves us. And God doesn't want to see us suffer. But we have to understand that the greater one is on the inside of us. And that we have already been victorious. We're not going into a battle that we haven't won. And the thing about it is, if you know you've already been victorious, it sure is a whole lot easier to stand strong. And, you know, but the thing about it is, it doesn't, here's the problem. It doesn't always feel like you've been victorious. But we're not moved by what we feel like. It doesn't always look like you've been victorious. Because, you know, on the scoreboard, you're kind of down a little bit. I mean, you know, sometimes it's like, God, have you seen my balance statement? I have an accounting degree. I understand what a balance statement means. Have you seen my checking account? Have you seen, like, you know, I got 28 cents right now, and I have these bills? You know, the thing about it is, we're not moved by what we see. We're not moved by what we feel. You know, we have to be moved by what we know. And we know that our God's a good God. And we know that the greater one's on the inside of us. And we know that there is nothing. The Bible says nothing is impossible. Nothing, no thing to those that believe. There's nothing impossible. All we have to do is believe. All we have to do is let the greater one out. You know, just because the greater one's there doesn't mean that he's able to do anything unless you let him loose. I mean, just let God loose in your situation. You know, the thing about it, it's almost, you know, maybe you have to have the mentality that you're sitting there with a guard dog, you know, and someone's attacking you. If you have a dog beside you, whether it's a guard dog or not, you know, if it has some kind of aggression, someone tries to attack you, the dog's going to go after him. You know, and sometimes, you know, I've heard people say, sick him, you know. Well, sometimes that's when you do the devil, you know, it's like, God, sick him. I mean, he's out looking for us. He's there on the inside of us. I mean, God, you take care of this situation. And I believe that that's where Christians miss it the most, is we don't let God take care of our situation, or we try to help him take care of our situation. Well, God, I'm going to give you 80%, but 20%, I'm going to help you here. You know, I was thinking about this the other day, you know, I'm teaching my class there at Rama, and I was thinking about in Genesis, you know, chapter 1, and you realize after the Lord made man, you know, he went on to create the animals and different things like that, you know, the birds and the bees and the mountains and the trees and all that kind of stuff. You know, it's interesting that God never asked Adam, said, Adam, can you help me here? Can you believe with me? He didn't ask Adam to help him. You know, even though man was already here, you know, so, you know, if he didn't ask Adam to help him, he probably doesn't need your help either. You know, he didn't need Adam's help when he created him. You know, and to think about this, and, you know, and, I mean, I know it's hard for us to fathom. We don't, I mean, it's really hard for us to go back into the world and said the earth was null and void, so there wasn't a whole lot. You know, I don't know what was here. I don't know what was here before. I don't know why it was null and void. I don't know anything. Not to me, know that kind of stuff. All I know is that God looked at it and says, you know what? Let there be light. And there was. Now, I don't know if that's how the sun, I guess that's how the sun was created, I guess. I mean, maybe there wasn't a sun here. I don't know. Or he regenerated, or I don't know what happened. You know what? That's not for me to figure out. You know, but the point is, he didn't need no man to help him. He didn't need a man, you know, to help him, you know, turn the dust into a man. And so when we realize that God doesn't need your help, so why are you trying to help God? Well, I'm not really. Well, if you're not really, then why are you worrying about stuff if you've turned it over to him? You're worrying about it because you haven't gave him control. Because if it's God's in control, you're not concerned about it. You say, well, yeah, but I see the figures and I read the reports. And well, that's because you went to school. You're used to reading reports. You're used to seeing figures. You're used to trying to, you know, and so sometimes we have to, you know, unchange our mind. We have to understand we're not dealing with our natural mind. It's not about what we can see or how we can read or reports or anything else. It goes beyond our mentality, you know, and that's why we have to have what we call a greater mentality. We have to think like God thinks, but, you know, I can't really think how God thinks. I can think, you know, so I just have to say, God, you're in control. Now, you realize if God's in control, you're not in control. And that's why a lot of people won't give everything to God, because they want to be in control. You know, and it's tough. I mean, you know, I like to be in control of all things. I mean, you know, that's why, you know, one of the things I do not like to do, and I've done it on a couple of occasions, is ride on the back of someone else's motorcycle. You know, it's bad enough to ride in someone else's car when they're driving, but, you know, I can... A motorcycle is a little different because, you know, if we mess up, it could be a whole lot more dangerous. If nothing else, we're gonna skin ourselves up pretty good, all right, you know, or worse. And so being on the back of someone else's motorcycle, especially like, hey, help me lean into this corner. So, you know, now, you know, the only good thing about being a little bigger now, people don't want you riding the back of their motorcycle. So it's like, you know, when You're a little smaller. I was like, yeah, no big deal. And so on a few occasions, I had to ride on the back of some motorcycles and things. You know, but you have no control. Now, I don't mind driving if someone else is on the back. That's fine. I'm in control. Or the same way with the watercraft, like a jet ski or something like that. You know, I just don't like being on the back because you know, I have no control. And so, you know, I want to be the guy in the front. You know, so that way, if we're going to crash, I cause us to crash. You know, instead of just crashing, like, you know, the person in front of me, oh, sorry, you know, I didn't mean to hit that boat. It just kind of popped out in the middle of nowhere. You know, that's not really, boats don't just come from nowhere, okay? We don't, you know, the Bermuda Triangle is not in the middle of our lakes here in Oklahoma. I don't know if you've figured that out, that boats actually, so anyway. Well, I've personally never been on a watercraft when someone hit a boat, or whatever, but I've been on the back of watercraft when someone decided to turn it too sharp, you know, or jump a wave when I fell off the back. You know, that's, you know, bad thing about it. You fall off the back, so you don't just fall, you roll off the back. You know, doing about 50 miles an hour, then, you know, doing 50 miles an hour, and anyone ever water skied or whatever knows this, then you like do like these somersaults on top of the water. You know, and I'm like, man, I wish someone had a good video here, because, you know, but I don't know. Anyone ever been there? Anyone ever, you know, done that? And kind of, you know, that's the one thing I don't like about water sports, you know, because, you know, is when you do the tumbles on top of the water at 50 miles an hour, because your body just is out of control. But you know what? Maybe if we be out of that same out of control with God, you know, where we're not really controlling anything, you know, and the deal is, so maybe we should live our life out of control. Because when we do, we'll be, because he's in control. You know, and that's the thing, is that God is in control. You know, and if he's really, see, he's the greater one. He's like, you know, God's saying, yes, I am the greater one, but use me. You know, use me. It's kind of like, I don't know, there's some certain video games or whatever where you have different things you could use, and, you know, and sometimes what you need to know what kind of thing to use, you know, because when you're battling somebody else or whatever, if you use these kind of things. But you know what? God's saying, hey, I'm here. Pick me. Use me. But you know what's sad about it is a lot of times we don't use what we have. I mean, we don't even use what we have. We just sit there, you know, and you know, the devil keeps attacking. You know, sometimes eventually we figure it out, but we need to figure it out quicker. You know, we need to go around realizing if we walk around with a greater mentality, knowing that, you know what, you know, we can walk around with our head up. You know what? It doesn't matter what the devil's trying to do. The Bible even says that if God be for you, who can be against you? Or Todd White says it this way: if God be for you, who cares who's against you? You know, we have to not care. I mean, it doesn't really matter who's against us, because God's for us. God's with us, and he helps us. So I want us to turn back to John chapter 14, John the 14th chapter, and look at what Jesus said before he left. He was telling his disciples things about the one to come. John chapter 14, and I'm going to read this from the Amplified version, so that way it's a little more amplified. No, it kind of just, it, you know, kind of makes it more, you know, kind of explains it a little more. I'm going to start with the 19th verse. John 14, 19 says this, Jesus talking, obviously it's in red letters. It says, after a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live, you will also live. On that day, when the time comes, you will know for yourself that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. So he's saying, you know what, I'm going to be with you. You know, and he goes, skipping down to verse 25, this is how he talks about it. He says, I have told you these things while I am still with you, but the Helper, now that's why I want to read the Amplified, goes on to say, the Comforter, the Advocate, the Intercessor, the Counselor, the Strengthener, the Standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place to represent me and act on my behalf. He will teach you all things. He will help you remember everything I've told you. But this is interesting. It says, peace I leave with you. My perfect peace I give to you, not as the world gives, I do not give it to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. Let my perfect peace calm you in every circumstance and give you courage and strength for every challenge. Now, it's interesting that Jesus kept talking about you should have perfect peace because the Comforter, the greater one, is on the inside of us, leading us and guiding us. So when we face a battle, we face an obstacle, we shouldn't be all upset about it. We shouldn't start having a pity party. We should be what Jesus, his will is for us to have peace in the middle of our storm. But why can we have peace in the middle of our storm? Because we know the greater one is on the inside of us. And he sent the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, Counselor, to stand by, the Advocate. You know, really basically, has anyone ever got one of those multi-tools that does everything? Sometimes even have a saw on it. I mean, my mom, I just got another one the other day. And I was like, Mom, this is like the eighth multi-tool I've had from you. Now, the cool one, this one's cool, though, because it actually has a hammer on it. I said, I don't know how many times as I've actually used my multi-tool as a hammer, but it wasn't really a hammer. I had one with the pliers on it. I took the pliers and I'm using it as a hammer. Anyone done that before? You know, many times. And this is also cool about it because it actually has not only one screwdriver, it actually has little bits, you know, like little drill bits and different screwdrivers, and even has torque screws and everything else. So I'm like, so it's a pretty cool multi-tool. The thing about it is what Jesus is trying to tell you. He says, you know, I'm going to go, but the multi-tool is going to come to you. You're going to have everything you need. I mean, you know, if you need counseling, the counselor is there. If you need help, he's there. You know, it talks about he leads us, he guides us, he shows us the way, he helps us in every situation. I mean, you know, we have the greater one on the inside of us. I mean, you know, we don't have to go look for him. You know, it's not like, you know, whenever the devil comes that we have to pull out the phone, you know, say, wonder where the Holy Spirit is today. Let's see. Is he in Kansas City? You know, maybe he's in a company. You know, and sometimes, you know, I've seen people that are like that, you know, whenever they're sick in their body. Well, when's evangelist so-and-so going to come and hold a meeting in my town? Well, you know, so is there faith really in God? Because, you know, the Bible says believers with hands on the sick and they shall recover. So if they believe what the Bible says, like I always point out, they need to go try to find a believer and let them lay hands on them and they shall recover according to God's word. You know, well, yeah, but brother so-and-so. Well, who cares about brother so-and-so? I'm not saying anything bad about that person. It's just, you know, but you know, God uses them, but he can also use other people as well. But we have to understand the greater one's on the inside of us. We don't have to go look for the greater one. You know, it's not like, you know, you have to do like a Where's Waldo thing, you know, and have to try to find them or whatever. I mean, you know, and that's the deal. A lot of times it seems that whenever we start facing things, we're like, God, where are you? Well, what do you mean, God, where are you? He's right there with you. He's there helping you. All you have to do is say, God, I need your help. You know, he's there. He's always there. He'll never leave us, never forsake us. He's always there. You know, and the Spirit of living God dwells in you. You know, it says, you know, that you know, the one scripture over there talks about that you know, the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells on the inside of us, and it will quicken our mortal body. And, you know, that's a scripture you guys use when you're tired. But it says the Spirit that raised Jesus Christ up from the dead, that's a miraculous Spirit. That's what dwells on the inside. I mean, that Spirit's more than that wakes us up. And that's the deal. Sometimes we don't even use what we have because we don't realize that we have the multi-tool that can handle everything. I mean, it's not like, see, I have some multi-tools, but they can only handle a few things. You know, there are some times that I need something besides my little multi-tool thing because, you know, in my house, for whatever reason, I have bought socket sets I don't know how many times. I mean, you know, but they just like run off. And if, you know, and if they don't run off on their own, you know, maybe I can find the socket set, but the one socket I need is no longer there. That's why every time that I have some kind of project that I need to do, that Walmart always gets me to visit them, you know, and buy tools that I used to have. And I actually used to have better, nicer tools than the ones at Walmart. But, you know, I don't do projects whenever you can buy stuff anywhere besides Walmart, because, you know, I'm the guy that shops at Walmart, you know, from from 2 in the morning till 6 in the morning. I don't even know the day shift at Walmart. I mean, I never met them people. I mean, no, every once in a while I show up in the day shift, but you know, the night shift people, those are my people. I know lots of them by name because I'm a frequent, you know, customer at Walmart. In fact, that's what happens when a Walmart supermarket, you know, is close to you where you live. So I'm there a lot. And I used to always post on Facebook every time I went there, and then people are like, "Are you always at Walmart?" I'm like, "Pretty much." I mean, you know, because they have everything. You know, and I'm the guy that likes to, I actually like to buy a variety of stuff at Walmart, like things that won't, you know, that no one would buy together, but I do. You know, so it's just kind of, you know, like, I mean, I like to visit like every section, you know. I go visit the hardware section, I visit the TV section, I visit stuff, you know, so it's just interesting. But I go to Walmart quite a bit, you know, just because it's open 24 hours a day. I thank God for modern technology and modern, you know, there are places the places don't even have a Walmart, first of all. That you know, so I feel sorry for them small little towns in Oklahoma here that don't have a Walmart, you know, or don't have an all-night one, you know. I don't know what you do. In fact, when I was at college, Oklahoma State University, Walmart wasn't 24 hours at that time. And I actually, when I moved off campus, I lived real close to Walmart. Sometimes I'd get bored. I just go to Walmart, walk around the aisles for no reason whatsoever. I just didn't have anything else to do. I mean, because the only thing you could do in you know, was eat pizza and go to Walmart. I mean, that's pretty much what you do in a college town. I mean, there's other things to do, and I was trying not to do those things. So anyway, I also went to I live right by the movie theater. I saw every movie in the theater, whether I wanted to see it or not, because it was showing a couple times, sometimes twice, because it was something to do. But, you know, we have a multitude on tool on the inside of us that's everything that we need. Anytime that the devil tries to come and steal, kill, and destroy from us, we have the thing that we need. You know, and the deal is that we should be in peace because we know what we have. You know, really, we shouldn't get out of the place where we're not in peace. Because if you know what you have and you know you've already been victorious, then why are you not in peace? You know, you shouldn't have to get yourself into the place to have peace. You should have peace whenever you show up. And that's what Jesus, that's what he was trying to tell his disciples when he left, is guys, don't worry about it. It's going to be okay. You're going to have everything you need. So just, you know, he talked about having peace, but he says, you know, this is interesting. You know, it says, do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. Let my perfect peace calm you in every circumstance and give you courage and strength for every challenge. I mean, he's going to give me courage and strength to face every challenge. So you know what? Even before I have the challenge, the Lord knew I was going to have that challenge. And he's going to give me courage and strength and peace to go through that challenge. And so for me not to have that courage, peace, and strength is because I'm denying who I am on the inside. See, you know, people say, well, I'm not going to deny, I would never deny Christ. But you're denying who you are on the inside because you have the power and you have the ability to have peace. You have the power and you have the ability to get through this situation. You've already been victorious because of Jesus Christ. But we don't act like it. And the thing is, we have to act like who we really are. You know, and I think a lot of it comes down with just flat out confidence in our you know, in our own self. You know, and a lot, you know, I tell you what, I believe that people that have confidence, you know, find it easier to have confidence in God because they have confidence in their own self. You know, there are some people that it just seems that I'm talking from a natural standpoint, not even from a spiritual standpoint. They're very confident. They're very positive. They're very, you know, and, you know, I'm a very positive person too, because I know my God, you know, but if I didn't know God like I knew God and I didn't know that God is for me, not against me, I don't know if I would be as optimistic as I really am. But when you know who your God is, it's really easy to be optimistic. It's really easy to see things, you know, half full instead of half empty or whatever. But then again, you know, there are a lot of even Christians that are very pessimistic. How can you be a pessimistic Christian and know God? Now, I'm not saying you're not going to make it to heaven, Because, you know, you might know God as your, you might know Christ as your Savior, but you don't under, you don't know what the multi-tool is on the inside. You've never opened up all the tools. Do you realize that if you've had one of these multi-tool things, there are a lot of tools you never need or you never use on a daily basis, but you know what? It's there if you need it. You know, and so the thing is, there's never going to be a situation that you're ever going to face that you don't have the answer for that situation, because the answer is Jesus Christ. Jesus is always the answer. That's why you sing the song. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him, there is no other. Jesus is the way. But, you know, we don't even believe our own songs. That's why I don't, sometimes don't even know why we even sing them sometimes. Because, you know, when I sing, music is very, for whatever reason, I think of songs all the time. I mean, when someone says something, I think of a song. Whether it's a Christian song or not a Christian song, I think of songs all the time. You know, and the great thing about it is, because there are some times when I'm facing a situation, I'll think of a song before I think of the scripture, but you know, don't think about the scripture that goes with that song. You know, but understanding that I have the answer really helps me understand I don't have a, you know, you don't have the answer and a problem. You either have the answer or you have the problem. Because once you have the answer, there is no problem. So how can I have a problem if I already know the answer? Now, here's the deal. The answer is not, I don't just have the answer. I have the answer on the inside. So, you know, in a nutshell, I'm not trying to lift you up or whatever, but really you're the answer to your own problem. Now, it's not that you're the answer. If you decide to dive into the answer, you have everything you need. So what are you looking for? Because like I said, a lot of times our prayer life is you're trying to get God to do something different. He's not going to die on the cross again tomorrow. He doesn't need to. Do you understand? Here's the deal. In fact, my dad has a book out there called It's Your Move. Meaning that Jesus Christ already made all the moves. I mean, you know, that's why God sent Jesus to make the moves that we need to make. And all we have to do is believe on him. All we have to do is trust in him. All we have to do is use him. You know, it's up to us. You know, that's why, like, in Mark 11, you know, on faith, it says that you need to, it said whoever says, it's talking about you need to say, it doesn't say that Jesus will say to the mountain, it's going to move on your behalf. It says that you need to speak. See, here's the thing is, ultimately, you got to decide, you know what? You got to get to the point where I'm tired of living like this. I'm tired of letting all these things, all these things on the outside control my life. Because some people are going through life like, you know, like a pinball. Hitting this, hitting that, you know, bouncing around. Sometimes going forward, sometimes going back. You know, sometimes they need a little help and they get batted back up again. Of course, hopefully not all you play pinball. I mean, you know, I know it's an old game. But, you know, that ball sometimes will just go ding, 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 and just bouncing back. And sometimes, you know, that's how we feel, like our head's getting ding, 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 ding. You know, the thing about it is that we have to understand that God is already in control. We have to understand we've already been victorious through Jesus Christ. And the greater one's on the inside of us. But I think that really, you know, this really brings things home when talking about John 14, is that Jesus basically told the disciples, you know what, you have the Holy Spirit that's with you, that leads you, that guides you, that shows you the way, your advocate, your standby, your counselor, you have all that. So since you have all that, go in peace. Because you realize that a record number of Christians do not have peace right now. In fact, I mean, you know, and the reason they don't have peace is because they don't know who the greater one is. I'm not saying they're not saved. I'm just saying that they don't realize what they have. You know, but I don't want you to get upset if there's times in your life that for a short time, hopefully very short, that you get out of that peace, because that's what the devil is trying to get you out of that peace. He's trying to get you to quit looking to Jesus and start looking to the things that are around about you. Just like he did with the disciples when they were there, you know, going across the sea. He tried to get them to quit looking about who was in their boat, who was with them, who was leading them, who was guiding. Because basically Jesus came and said, we're going to the other side, guys. Now, see, if it was someone like me and Jesus said, we're going to the other side, you know, remember, I've just seen this man, you know, feed 5,000. I've seen the miracles. If I was one of those guys, I'd just get back with Jesus and say, you know what? He's not going down, so I'm going to go sit back in the back of the boat with him. You know, because, you know, that's just how I am. I'm like, man, I'm with Jesus. And but here's the deal. You're with Jesus. Do you want to understand that you're not walking alone? You're never alone. And, you know, so it's not like that you're by yourself. You know, singing, what is it, Linda Ronstadt song, All By Myself? You're not like that. You're not all by yourself. You're with him. He's with you. And so you're not facing that situation. You know, and I know times get tough and look tough, and we've all been there. And the deal is, sometimes, you know, well, I call it, we have a bad moment, or you know, hopefully you don't have a whole bad day. You know, I mean, don't go for 24 hours. You know, but some people do. Some people go for weeks. Some people go for years. You know, because the devil, even though, here's the deal. People will have, you know, they'll get through a situation. They'll understand, you know what, they trusted the Lord and they got through that situation. And 6 months later, they'll be in a similar situation. They'll forget that they trusted God last time. I don't know what it is. I don't know. I mean, maybe it's, you know, we're just forgetful. I don't know. You know, people getting older or something. I don't know. But understand what it is. I know what it is. It's the devil. The devil will try to get you out of the mentality. But you know what? If you walk along with peace, I mean, it's hard to get the mentality whenever you have peace. Because, you know, if you don't ever have, if I know, I see, here's, by reading this, by Jesus telling his disciples, I realize that it's God's will for me to have peace. So if there's something that's not causing me peace, that's not really God's will. You understand? So I need to figure out, how can I get peace in this situation? Is it my fault? Do I need to change something here? Or maybe I need to get away from whatever I'm doing because I don't have peace about it. You know, I try to walk in peace. It's a whole lot better to have peace than it is to have issues all the time. You know, and I get it. You know, sometimes we let anger pop up. Sometimes we let this pop up. You know, but actually, the older I get, the better I'm getting. I'm not perfect. You know, of living more in peace and not. You know, sometimes, you know, I'm even thinking about, I could get angry about this, but it's not going to really help. Do you realize a lot of times that we get angry about something when we kind of get out of peace, and it doesn't solve anything. All it does is make a couple other people angry. But, you got to learn to live in peace. But understand, it's pretty easy to live in peace when you know you've overcome, when you've already won. And that's the mentality that you face. That there is nothing that the devil is going to do that you haven't overcome through Jesus. It's not because you're special. So it's all about, you know what? God, this is what I need. So I'm going to give you all my cares. I'm going to cast all my cares. I'm going to give you everything, and I'm just going to trust in you, and I'm going to continue on with peace. I mean, that's what God wants us to do. All right, because we know the greater one is on the inside. Because we know that, you know, that there's nothing that we're going to face. And so even in the middle of our storms, in the middle of our what seems, you know, terrible, God's with us, and he's in control. And, there are many times when people try to, I mean, people are mean sometimes. I mean, I know people that just try to get you out of having peace. In fact, I think some people get jealous that you're not upset like they are. I mean, it happens a lot, you know, because they're trying to figure out, why are you not as upset as me? And especially when they're a Christian and you're a Christian, because it's a little understandable. If I'm a Christian, you're not a Christian, I get it. But we're both Christians. We've sometimes both been saved as long, but you're not freaking out. Because what's good it going to do to freak out anyway? And how can I freak out when I know that my God, that supplies all my needs, is with me. And I know he's leading me, he's guiding me, he's showing me. I know the greater one is making a way for me. I know who I am in Christ Jesus. So why freak out? There's nothing to freak out about. I mean, you know, and sometimes like people get mad at me because, or I don't know why, but, you know, when my wife gets mad at me sometimes, like when some of the storm pests, like, do you know those tornadoes? I don't care. You know, I'm tired. I'm going to sleep here. Yeah, but we need to watch it come from they want to watch it from the panhandle all the way through the state of Oklahoma. You know, that's the thing about living. You know, I'm like, I don't want to watch. I don't care about the tornadoes in Guymon right now. Okay. I'm sleeping. Even if it's going to hit me, you know, or going to hit our area, and we're talking about 3 or 4 hours. So if you want to see it for 3 or 4 hours, if you want to go hide in the closet or whatever, I'll be there if I need to be there. You know, but I don't need to be there. And so some of my wife, when it comes to the physical storms, I mean, she likes to, you know, we have to watch all the weather stuff, and I'm like, can we watch a cable channel so we don't have to watch all the weather stuff? That's, I mean, as we know over the weekend, the biggest star is our weather guys. You know, after a while, you know, I'm tired of watching reality TV. Can we just watch something that's, you know, because reality TV is not really reality, obviously. So let's watch one of those shows. I mean, you know, I mean, I'm not keeping up with the Kardashians or anything. I'm watching the weather guy. I mean, he's saying the same thing. There's this and there's that. And, you know, and there's one storm, there's another storm. Okay, good. You know, whatever. Now I'm not saying that. I do get, you know, when there are storms, when there was tornadoes, when there are things, I know how to come against those situations and circumstances and stuff. But the thing about it is, I'm not going to worry about it. You know, especially when it's miles and miles down the road. And my wife, she's not necessarily worried about it. She's just more interested than I am sometimes. You know, so, I mean, she's like, and I guess like the other day, of course, you guys felt it here too. We had a lot of straight wind that came through that actually, it wasn't tornadoes, but I know our sirens went off. Well, I don't know our sirens went off because I didn't hear the sirens go off in the middle of the night. I was sleeping. So I guess my wife didn't think it was too bad because she didn't wake me up either. So it's like, you know, she goes, you know, the sirens went off last night. I'm like, no, I didn't, you know. But I do know one time, I remember I was in grade school. I showed up to class and everyone was talking about how they, you know, they had to, in the middle of the night, they all went downstairs and were hiding under whatever. I'm like, did the tornado sirens go off last night? I don't know. I never came. I'm in a bunk bed on the top, you know, top story. So I never got down, so I don't think anyone in our house heard the tornado alarms or whatever. So either we're good sleepers or whatever. I don't know, but, you know, it's the thing about it is I have peace on the inside. And you know, really, ultimately, I understand that the Lord's going to lead me and guide me. He's going to wake me up I'll know when I need to take cover or need to run or need to do something different. You know, because me and him have a covenant. And I know he looks out for me. He protects me. He leads me. He guides me. He shows me the way. I mean, you know, he'll wake me dead, you know, not dead up, because not dead is not a good word. But he'll wake me, you know, straight up from a dead, set, what we call a dead sleep, you know, and lead me and guide me because he loves me that much. And that's, I have faith in my God. And I have faith that he loves me so much that he's going to get me through any kind of situation. You know, And the deal is, situations don't surprise me, you know, because I know the devil is a mean person. And he's going to throw things my way and going to try to, make me, you know, not whatever. I mean, you know, he's going to try to get me off my game or whatever. That's what the devil does. But praise God that my God gives me peace at all times. You know, and I believe most of you probably haven't seen John chapter 14 the way I just showed it to you today, that we should have peace even before the storm. And even though we have the advocate, the counselor, the standby, we still have peace at all times. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and we praise you. We magnify your name. And we thank you, Father, that you supply peace in the middle of our situations at all times. We thank you, Father, for the greater one that lives on the inside of us. We thank you, Father, for the Spirit of the living God that's there that leads us and guides us and shows us the way. And Father God, we just give you the praise, honor, and glory for everything that you're doing in our midst. And we thank you, Father, that you're helping us in every time. But Father God, we just thank you that you'll help us to understand that it's not about what we see. It's not about what we feel. It's not about what's going on around about us, but it's about the greater one that lives on the inside of us, that we'll be able to see you more, that we'll be able to realize that we're not walking alone, but they're walking with you. And we'll realize that great things are ahead for us, and we can have peace in the middle of our storms. But Father God, we thank you if anyone is here that's not saved, that they've never made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of their life, that they won't leave this place without accepting Jesus Christ. Or maybe they're here today and they said, Craig, at one time I walked with the Lord, but I've kind of turned my back and I went away, and I want to come back home today. If that's you, if you've never been saved, or you want to rededicate your life to God, lift your hand. We want to pray with you across this auditorium. Father God, I don't see any hands, but we thank you right now. If anyone is here that does not know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, that you'll send laborers across their path on a daily basis, and we thank you, Father, that they will accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We give you the praise, honor, and glory. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand up. Before we go tonight, is there someone here that needs healing in their body? As you know, that each and every service, we always give an opportunity for people to be healed. And we've had some great testimonies here, how God healed us. And, whether it's a big thing or a small thing, I don't care if it's cold, or I don't care if you've been diagnosed with cancer. It doesn't matter. God doesn't want you sick. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Remember, Jesus is the healer. Amen. Jesus is the healer. And so I'm not going to heal you. He is. Amen. Father God, we just thank you right now for the healing power of God. We thank you, Father. We lay hands on the sick here. We thank you, Father, that power of God will flow into them from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. And we thank you, Father, that it will drive out any sickness and disease. We thank you, Father, for testimonies that we shall hear and that we shall see in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, that's it right there. That's it right there. That's it right there. Receive your healing now. Hallelujah. 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 In the name of Jesus, receive. Oh, there it is. There it is. There it is. Receive your healing now from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. That's it right there. That's it right there. That's it right there. Let the power of God flow throughout your body in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. God's a good God. Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. If you are a first-time visitor, we're glad to have you tonight. And we have the connection team. They're going to take you, and we have a gift for you. So if you're a first-time visitor, connection team, will you go and meet those guys and take them to a special place and give them the gift we have for you. Don't forget that, like I said, my mom's birthday is coming up, actually, day before Mother's Day. And so Greg will have a card out there in the bookstore, and you can go out there and sign that card for her. She was actually born on Mother's Day. So it's always easy to remember when her birthday is. It's always around Mother's Day. Usually, day before, day after, a few days before or whatever. So it's always easy to remember. So amen. Well, I'll be back here next week. I do know that already, because Mom and Dad's going to be, they're going to be in preaching in Nashville, Tennessee next week. They're doing a special meeting for one of our churches there. I think it says 50 years in ministry or something like that going on. So they'll be in Nashville, Tennessee. So I'll be here next week. Amen. Well, the way we just mess around here, I'll be back there to shake your hand. If you don't want to shake my hand, you can go out that door. Amen. Don't forget, 6 o'clock next Sunday night. God bless you guys. Take care. Have a great week.